Good evening and happy Monday. Happy International Women's Day, ladies.
Thank you.
Same to you, darling.
Yes, International Women's Day. I think that over the last few years, I think that International Women's Day has become more of a thing, right? What do you guys think? Like, I feel like I just wasn't hearing enough about it before. Like before, like
no,
the last couple
remembering
years, like especially like since like the Me Too movement.
For sure, I don't remember like in school there being like a hey, National Women's Day. Like I feel like now you're getting like much more traction with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had no idea that like International Women's Day, like the first International Women's Day was. Celebrated in 1909.
Is
literally,
that right?
I
didn't
like,
either.
I just feel like I started hearing about it like within like the last like 5 years. For me, I don't know.
Dang.
Maybe I wasn't paying attention
Dang.
Before. Hmm? Okay, but either way,
you know,
something
I mean, honestly, I felt like it was a made up holiday. And I was like, well, that's a great one to make up.
I
like that.
Right. Like, there's, like, some real history with International Women's Day. It's crazy. Again, that's just us really not knowing. But I'm going to be honest with you guys. Like, the people who, like, started, like, celebrating, like, International Women's Day is, like, the Germans and, like, in Soviet Russia. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're the ones who kind of started this International Women's Day, which means that it was not widely celebrated in the Black culture then. You know, we hear about things a little bit late sometimes, or things were not made available to us like they were made to everyone else. Like, we had our own battles to fight. The last thing we were thinking about was International Women's Day. It's sad.
Right, exactly. I do remember, always remember growing up with Women's History Month. I do remember that being a thing for March. I don't know if it was because it was right after Black History Month that I remembered, or because I'm a woman. I can't give it to you.
You went to an all-girls.
I do remember
school.
That. That's oh yeah, that part.
All girls
that
high
part.
School. So all of us went to all girls high school. All girls private high school in the Chicagoland area. And so yeah, like, you know, Women's History Month was made like a big deal because it was like, I am woman, hear me roar. You know, so I think that's what it was. But anyway, just wanted to say that briefly to you guys and all of our lovely female listeners out here. Happy International Women's Day to you, too. Now, something perfect that we're actually about to talk about, it's just like, it just lines up with International Women's Day. Vicki, what do you think?
You know, I could definitely agree with that. I definitely agree that it lines up quite well.
Let's talk about it.
So yesterday, our homegirl Oprah did a fantastic interview. You know, Oprah holds something near and dear to my heart as a journalist because she gets in there and she gets those like interviews in at the correct time. So, she lined up an interview with Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, and they discussed them leaving the monarchy and moving here to the United States, like officially. And so it's really buzzing right now. It just aired last night. And I think, you know, there's always been like buzz around this particular marriage. You know, they've been married for a few years. They have a son. They're pregnant with their second child who, yay, is a girl. I'm so excited about that. But the whole idea of, like, so many things are kind of merging together in the British culture that had not really happened before in regards to, like, the crown. So we're talking, like, you know, like, she is multi-ethnic with her parents being multiracial. And then with her being a United States citizen and joining in England to someone who was a part of the monarchy. So in this interview, they kind of broke down all of the reasons why they had these problems and why they decided to disconnect completely, which has never really happened before. And they brought up a lot of issues, the whole idea of being dragged in social media, being dragged in the tabloids, not being able to, like, speak on their own behalf, the fact that with her being a Black woman, a multi-ethnic woman, the issue with her Blackness was such a problem that they were concerned about the skin tone of her child, like, how dark would he become as he got older, all these issues that they were dealing with and how they banded together and decided to make each other the priority and their marriage. And they really, for 2 hours, dug into that. And people are really supporting them. They now live here in California, so they decided to kind of build their own life. And there's issues within their family. They made it known that it's not the queen specifically that is really giving them a problem. Like, they still, like, FaceTime with her, FaceTime with the baby, those kind of things. But it's so hard. Like, how do you fight, like, an entire culture as a person? You know, it really kind of broke that down and, like, what it means to feel different in a space where you kind of don't have the allies that you need. So I kind of wanted to get you guys' thoughts about that. Like, you know, in the end of it, they felt, like, so isolated that they just did not want to be a part of the royal family anymore. And, like, have you ever been in a situation where you felt like, I cannot even deal with these group of people anymore because of how they make me feel, think, experience life at this point?
It's definitely thought-provoking, for sure. I'll definitely say that obviously none of us have been courted by anyone in the royal family, so that comes with its own different set of pressures, right? I do believe that, I mean, I have my own thoughts about the whole Meghan Markle situation. I myself and people will probably disagree with me, and I will go on record and say that, no, I do not agree with how she's been treated at all. I don't think that it was fair treatment. However, she experienced what Black people have been experiencing for so many years. And I do feel like because she is biracial but looks more racially ambiguous, and she really does kind of lean more toward as far as her physical features, she leans more towards her Caucasian side. I will say that now she knows how it feels to be a Black woman. Honey, if you didn't know how it feels to be a Black woman before you married into that family, now you know how it feels. I'm not diminishing her feelings. I'm not negating anything that she's gone through. My feeling is just that, number one, these are some of the things that you kind of know that you may have to experience when deciding to get into an interracial relationship. That's the one thing. Number two, the royals are the royals for a reason. They've been in power for so long for a reason. Okay, so we have to remember that too. And number three, for me, again, kind of like tying back to like the original point that I was trying to make, I did not feel that, in my opinion. Now, I've been told by a couple different people they didn't feel the same way, and that's perfectly fine. We all have our own opinions. I didn't feel like Meghan identified with or promoted her Black side before she started dating Harry. Like, I felt like that's when she became more aware of her Blackness, as opposed to before, when she was just acting or doing everything else that she was doing. All in all, again, I still don't agree with the treatment. I think it was extremely unfair. The fact that the girl said that she did not want to live anymore, that's really messed up.
For someone
to get you to a point where you say, I didn't even want to live anymore, because you feel like there's no other way out, because you're seeing some of history repeat itself when it came to like Princess Diana and everything that she went through being a royal, and then her subsequently losing her life. The jury's still out on that, right? We have our own beliefs about what happened to her, but but the fact that she was a decent human being and didn't agree with some of their beliefs and their practices, there was always some type of drama or controversy regarding Diana. And Megan was really feeling that. Now, what I will say is that her husband, he did what husbands are supposed to do.
For sure.
Right? And that's biblical. Isn't that biblical, what husbands are supposed to do? Right? And what he did was he protected his family, and he saw, okay, wait a minute, even though he was such a young child when his mother's life was taken, he saw, okay, this is kind of going down the same road. Let me go ahead and get my wife up out of here. So I did appreciate that. So what about you, Sal?
Well, you know.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, what were you going to say?
Well, I believe that, okay, first off, I'm of the opinion that you knew what you were marrying into. And as I was definitely proud of her for taking a stand against years and years of formalities and I'm sure some sort of royal rules and policies, she took a stand and felt like she did what was right for her and her growing family, right? And as you said, Heather, her husband protected her. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. However, I was still feeling a way that you're basically forcing your husband to close the door on something that, you know, he's been groomed for his entire life. Now, I guess maybe I shouldn't say forced because he probably wouldn't have been able to be forced. He probably wouldn't have been able to be forced because it was something that he's been groomed with for his entire life and knows the perks and knows what, you know, being a royal and not being a royal means for him. But I do feel that it was probably, maybe it was more than just, it had to be more than just an overnight conversation for him to be okay with leaving his family and all of those values and protections, you know, closing the door on all of that. But I do feel that, you know, when you marry that person. Your family kind of goes to the wayside and to some extent of what their expectations are. Now it's about what you and your wife intend to build. So I was definitely proud of her for that. And as far as her being ridiculed and experiencing racism and discrimination, first of all, and Heather, you touched on this, you're not now, you're more than just the chick that's passing for just another mixed girl, and you're okay with the white people. You can blend in with the white people, but we're only going to let you get so far. So now you've seen your ceiling, and that's what kind of irritates me. Now you've seen, like, oh, I still am a nigga. Cool. Now I feel like you want this some tad bit of sympathy because now you know you're a nigga. When before, when you were playing on all these shows and, you know, just the white guy's girlfriend, you know, you were fine then, but now that you've reached what you call probably the upper echelon of you know, height, then now that you've reached that ceiling and now that you know that you're experiencing the same things that we've been experiencing day to day on some sort of level, I feel like she's milking it a little bit, in my opinion.
Really?
And
that, you know, that's
I'm sorry that you feel that way.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel that she's milking it like I said, a little bit, only because I'm not trying to take away from her experience saying that it's not what it was when it definitely was something for her. I'm not trying to invalidate any of it. I'm just saying that I think a lot of the things that we've been experiencing and oppressed by for years, maybe some of those things are just coming into her world. And that's my point in saying that now she's feeling what we've been feeling for all this time. And no, we don't have an Oprah interview to gather our story for us, but I'm definitely happy she was able to get it out there for sure. But
I just think it's a slippery slope, though, when you get into, like, blaming. So my thing is like, or shaming. Like, my thing is, like, well, it's a fine line being like, well, now, boo, now you know how it feels to you kind of deserving what you're getting. Like, to me, that's not a far step. So, like, I feel like, for one, you know,
oh, no, I would never,
everybody has, like,
I've never,
in it, but,
yeah. I've never said that she deserves it. I don't know if that was misunderstood. I never said any of that. I said that I feel like there's a bit of now she's arrived to the place that we have been and live most daily. Not saying that she's never experienced racism or discrimination, but I do feel like now probably more than ever, because she does have that spotlight, that she is seeing that, yeah, I'm not just, they're not looking at my white side, or they're not looking at my majority side. They're looking at the minority side of me now, which is something that probably is not something she had to deal with on a day-to-day basis like a lot of us.
Well, I'm just saying,
but,
like,
she definitely doesn't,
like, I
think deserve to be
was,
treated badly.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my thing is, like, it's, for one, you know, they did, like, a comparison with, like, how the tabloids and the media has treated Meghan in Great Britain and in England, and how they treated Kate Middleton, her sister-in-law. Like, it's, they could be talking about the exact same topic, what they wore, how they dealt with something, an event that they was there. They would drag Meghan, and then they'd be like, Kate is so sweet and kind and beautiful in her articles. I don't think, and this was, like, day after day, tabloid after tabloid, right? And I'm gonna be honest with you, like, Harry is that guy. He is not cool with people coming at his wife. He's came at the media multiple times for how they have talked about his wife. She wouldn't say anything. Like, she'd be like, okay, we'll just deal with it. That comes with the territory. Like, he'd be like, no, what you're not going to do is come for my wife. So I don't think it was any sort of, like, force to make a decision type situation. He's just not that guy. In addition, where he is in the lineage, he would never probably be king. Like, his brother's kids come before him in becoming king. So it's not like he's like, oh, well, this is an opportunity that I'm missing. And quite frankly, his temperament is like, even if that's the case, chuck the deuces on you. Like, that's kind of how he treats the situation. And I think part of it is because of what he saw his mom experience. And there just isn't that same type of, I got to do this no matter what type of vibe with him. You know, and I think very few people could deal with that level of scrutiny and still stand in the face of it, honestly. I think to see, hear, feel things about you that say you are wrong and you are trash day after day, I just don't think everybody can handle that, where it's directed at your name. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, you know. So that's kind of where I'm like, that's a slippery slope, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I just feel like my heart hurts for her because I know I could.
And then
I'd
like to
and
say,
I think that when
I have
you're
not
dating
watched the video.
Someone,
I've not seen the
like,
interview,
when,
so
you're dating someone,
maybe my feelings like, are coming before.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. Like, you know, like, I just think when you're dating someone and you're in love, like, you underestimate how bad that could be. Like, even when I dated interracially, I severely underestimated how it would feel to feel like a family didn't want to meet me, or that, like, I couldn't be, our relationship wouldn't be taken as seriously because I'm black. Like, I did not take all those things into account when I started dating that person. It was later when those issues started coming up that I was like, well, damn, like, I don't feel comfortable with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that. Why would they take it against me? You know what I'm saying? So I kind of feel like, I kind of feel for her. But that's just my two cents. I think it's an interesting topic. I think it brings up, like, so many issues that happen in relationships. And I think what kind of impacted me the most was that underneath all of this, like, glitz and glam and famous people and different things like that, underneath that was issues in relationships. And, like, how it feels to be out of place, and there's nothing you can do about it.
I agree with you on that. Like, I don't feel that she was milking it. Now, I have seen people post some things on Facebook about them feeling the same way, that they totally felt that she was milking this interview, and it wasn't just blacks who were saying it was whites who were saying, those people of all cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Who were making these comments about her milking this situation. And I don't feel that she milked it. I do feel like I said previously, now you understand. What you didn't understand before, now you truly understand. And regardless, she should not have had to go through it. Regardless, they were wrong. But they don't care that they were wrong either. Just because this was brought to the forefront doesn't necessarily mean that anything's going to be done about it or anything's going to change, because this is how they've been operating since they've been in power. And we already know that they have some warped views because two cousins. Okay, forget it. Like, that, I'm about to go somewhere else, like, with the whole cousin situation and how the royal...
That whole relationship is wild.
That's what I'm saying, right? This isn't... But this also has not been the first time that a black was introduced into the family, because historically speaking, there have been several blacks or several people, you know, multiracial people that are in the bloodline. So, but again, at the end of the day, the three of us can all agree that it was wrong. We feel for her, right? We wouldn't wish that on our worst enemy, especially to the point, again, like I said, the fact that this girl said she wanted to save her life. That's just something completely different. But so, moving on.
That's devastating.
Yeah, definitely. Our girl T from the It's Tea Time podcast had posted a little while ago, sometime this evening, and I wanted to ask you guys questions about it because I got my own comments. So this meme says, y'all got to stop asking grown women what you doing, where you at every 30 minutes. She was the dude who told her to be ready by 7 p.m. I felt that with every fiber of my being. I want to know what you guys
every
think
fiber.
About it. Every fiber, every inch, every ounce. How do you guys feel, Fallon? Fallon, what do you think about that meme?
Oh, goodness. If this just doesn't stir up a bunch of feelings, I'm definitely with that. Like, a bunch. I'm with that because, I mean, first of all, don't what you doing me to death. Don't good morning, beautiful me to death. There's just certain things that you do when you're trying to establish and or ignite something or build onto something and or just even get to know. You know, let's go to the basics of just getting to know me. That means you set a plan, make a plan, and I can either pick it up, I can either accept it or decline, correct? If you tell me, if you're saying, oh, if I say, you know, oh, it's a lazy day for me. Oh, what you got planned? Oh, I'm going to, you know, that's a different what you're doing. But if you, oh, what you want to do, what you want to do, what you want to do, we're going to go back and forth like that. What you want to eat? You want to eat sushi? You like steak? You like, I mean, just make a plan and I can pick it up or decline. But don't be a grown man about it. I think it shows immaturity when you don't take the lead. I don't know any woman that doesn't want a man to lead. I don't know, not a one. I feel like that's the role. The man leads, and she's right behind. Not saying that the women can't lead, for all the feminists listening. I'm not saying that the women can't lead as well. I'm just saying in the relationship, you want a man that's a leader. You don't want your man to just be following you, doing everything. You're just bossing him around. Or let me speak for myself. I don't, okay? So
right.
I feel that the man should take the leadership and say, okay, babe, here's what we're doing. Be dressed by 6, meet me here by 6. Here's the address. Should I come get you? Do you want to drive? What? Just set it out there for me. But I think it's, number one, I think it's sexy. It shows maturity. It shows leadership. And it shows that you can control whatever, you can control the situation. I was in a relationship where I felt like it didn't get done unless I had my hands in it. And you and I, Heather, have had that conversation. Like, I don't want to be that all the time. Like, I can put you in, tag me, you're it, coach. But I want a man that's going to make those moves and be the leader and put things in motion. And I say, all right, I'll be there, baby, or I'm ready.
Right. Yeah, Vicki, what about you? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, like they say, like, say that for the people in the back. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just, what strikes me about that comment is that there's so many men who don't see a problem with the what are you doing constantly. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so many men out here, and I think men are great. I feel like, you know, there's such a variety out here for you to find what you like and what you want, but I do think there's a certain, like, group of people who feel like dating isn't really a requirement. So actually putting a date together isn't really a requirement. And they just much rather hang in the what are you doing space. You know what I'm saying? So that's just my thing, is that, like, why do you want to just what are you doing somebody to death? Like, why are you cool with that? Like, as a man,
right,
I want you to be like, hey, I want to spend some time with you. Let's go on a date, put something together. That doesn't mean it always has to be on you, but I'm looking for some type of initiative out of you. And when I read that, I was like, it's just too many brothers out here that have a problem with initiative. So, you know, that's my whole thing. It's like so many of us get that treatment, and so many of us are so irritated by it. And then when you ask a man about it, they really always don't see the problem with it.
Yeah, they're always, it's almost like they just sit back, right, and just kind of wait for you to make these suggestions when I'm not going to do that all the time. I think for me, I know I was saying something. I can't remember who I was saying it to, but one of my people recently. And, you know, in this whole dating, getting to know people type of situation, I have seen some things that I'm just like, ooh, this is not gonna work. Is this what dating is like now? Like, this
yes,
what they
girl.
Do? That's what they do in you know, 2021. And it just kind of rubs me the wrong way because, again, I've had several conversations with people that I'm like, you know what, this is probably going to be one of the last times I talk to you because, for me, effort is everything. Effort is absolutely everything. If you're not taking the initiative, if you're not saying, hey, like Vicki said, I want to spend some time with you, you know, like Fallon said, create the day, create the experience for us. It's not going to be like that all the time because I like to create experiences too, but I'm not going to be the only one taking initiative to make sure that those experiences are created, right? Like, most recently, I have been, you know, I would say hanging out with somebody, and he has been making plans. Honey, that's what you do. You make plans. Mm-hmm. I was almost blown away by it. I was like,
which is sad.
Yep.
What? Do that? Oh, you're not just going to say, oh, you want to come over here to my house and hang out with me? No, baby, I don't want to go to your house to hang out with you tonight. That's not what I want to do, right? And dates don't have to cost a lot of money. They don't have to do that. And maybe that's like, their belief, some of them. Some of them are just raggedy, and they don't want to do anything at all, right? Some of them are just raggedy. We know this. But some of them, I feel like, because maybe they're unlearned in this area, and to go one step deeper, it's a lot of y'all women out here who make stuff
say
too
it,
easy.
Say it.
You make,
say
you make
it.
Stuff too easy.
Yep.
You
yep.
giving him keys to the palace before he's even shown that he's even halfway worthy. And the men will argue me up and down about this all day. Well, what about your worthiness? What about, baby, the man takes the lead. Like Fallon said, takes the lead. I'm not like as you lead, I follow. Not saying I don't have a voice in my relationship or situation or whatever, but what I'm saying is a woman is more inclined to be putty in your hands and give you pretty much everything that you could ever want and then some if you take the initiative, if you put forth effort. It's not a lot of y'all doing that nowadays. It's just not. But again, because the women are out here just going from, hi, I met you online, let's hang out a couple times, and whoop, oh, we're in a relationship, whoop, whoop, oh, there's a baby. There's no real courting. There's no real getting to know each other.
Right.
It's just not. Right. It's too much. It's too much, and I don't like it. I don't.
But you know what? Part of it is, too, is the financial aspect. I think that there are a lot of men who don't. Well, I think it's twofold, because I brought this up with a lot of guys, too. Like, part of it is that they really do be like, well, why should I have to financially invest so early? And I guess my thing is this. Like, dating costs money. Now, as a man, I feel like in the beginning you should pursue and you should take somebody out. Like, that,
right.
That to me is part of the system. I also feel like, however, as a woman, like you said, Heather, like, I like to do things too, but I'm not about to kick it off and start it. Like, I feel like you, if you're interested in me, I feel like men invest money in things they care about. I feel like if you're trying to pursue me, that's what you're going to do.
Right.
I also feel like part of the problem is, though, a lot of men have been burned by going out with women that weren't interested in them and spent, like, all sorts of money. And then now they're like, I'm not about to spend that money because she may not even dig me like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, but then I always feel like, well, why am I paying for what Joe Schmo did? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's my philosophy. It's not fair.
And it happens so much. Like, you're right, Vicky. Like, there are men who feel like, okay, because the last four or five women I tried to pursue kind of, you know, used me for a couple free meals. And women, y'all got to stop doing this. Like, seriously. Like, stop trying to find sponsors or stop trying to go out with people just because you want somebody to pay for a meal for you. Buy your own damn meal. Because for me, if I don't enjoy your time, I don't care where you've taken me to. I'm not about to sit in a date with you for 2 to 3 hours, and in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh my God, I cannot wait until we're done.
Until this is over, right?
So I feel like
I can't do that either.
I feel like it's trifling just to use somebody as a sponsor. For whatever it is, especially if you don't have mutual feelings for that person. That's unfair.
Yeah, I do. I agree with that. I agree with that, especially as a grown-ass woman. Let's put that out there. Now, if you're young and silly, you're probably doing that and thinking it's cute. But as a grown woman, don't do that. Don't waste. Let's stop wasting people's time, period, overall, in general, in all relationships and entanglements or whatever you want to call it. But I will say, as far as that man who keeps getting burned, I'm going to need you to be more selective, sir, because what you, 9 times out of 10, you're picking the same women,
people,
the same type of women. Right, you're picking
people.
The same type of woman. You can't, let's look past the big button to smile. Let's look past that. And I'm saying that the good ones can't, because I think,
Keep going without saying that all three of us have.
I'm just saying, sometimes some men are a lot more shallow, and you end up with someone who's just using you to pass the time because she didn't have nothing to do on a Thursday night. But if you're a little more selective, and then a lot of times men, I don't think, take the time to have those couple conversations before jumping to, let me take you on a date. Sometimes you got to build on the date, you know, and sometimes you can see if that chick is worth taking on a date. Sometimes maybe let's meet up for coffee and just pick each other's brain for a second.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm just saying. And then you don't always
struggle with that a little bit.
I get you, but then you don't always, on the flip end of that, you don't always, first date don't always have to be the $400 steakhouse either. So that's your fault if you keep getting burned.
True.
So that's my piece.
I mean,
be more selective.
I mean,
period.
I think it's relative. Like for some men, that first outing may be trying to put my words together. that first outing may be Burger King, right? And that's
yeah,
okay.
You know what?
If that's what y'all decide
for
on,
some.
Okay. If that's what y'all decide on, that's okay, right? We don't know everyone's situation. We don't know everybody's setup. That is okay. For some, their first outing may be something on a bit of a grander scale, right? And again, it's okay. It really just depends on what's your zhuzh, what do you like. But I do feel like, it. First of all, it shouldn't take 3 weeks for you to decide, you know what, I want to take this person out. No, I think that's
true.
In the whole getting to know each other type of situation, within like the first few days or within the first week of you all, you know, having conversations, then I feel like that you all should set some time, especially if you are dating with intention.
Right.
Right.
Agreed.
Or if that's your goal, is to, okay, I'm dating with the potential to find, you know, my next or my final partner or what have you, whatever your reason for doing it is. I do feel like people should, hey, stop beating around the bush. If you want to go out, go out. It doesn't take a month and a half for you to say, you know what, now that I've vetted you properly, now it's okay for us to spend time together.
Yeah,
no, because that's all part of the getting to know each other process too. But anyway, I just wanted to get y'all's idea on it.
Goes back to wasting time. Don't waste my time.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So Fallon, there was something that you had a topic you wanted to discuss. I'm gonna let you roll with
I
that.
Sure did. So, and this is coming right from Michael Basin Live. For our listeners, he is one of our great media guys from Chicago and is definitely always pushing the envelope on the, you know, taboo subjects and things that are not talked about but should be. So he's definitely worth a listen if you guys check him out on Facebook, right, Heather? And I'm sure Instagram,
yeah.
And he's on the radio also. So,
definitely.
And one of... Okay. One of his videos, the topic was, are friends, are exes of your friends off limits even after dating just a couple, going out on a few dates? So say, you know, you've been dating Tom, didn't work out, and then your girlfriend Rachel say, you know what, I think I'm gonna check him out. He been in my inbox. Is that okay, ladies, or... How would you go about that, or how do you feel about it? Go ahead, Vic.
You know, to be honest, I have like a don't make my exes policy. Like, I feel like part of being a friend is that you do not, first of all, I don't like to be compared to anyone, let alone somebody I know. For two, sure. I value my friendship so much that I'm just like, I'm not even willing to take the chance on how messy that could be. And I've been like the friend before that one of their previous friends dated their ex. And it was ugly. Like, it was just like, you know, I've tried to like play cool with it. I tried to be like, you know what? I didn't want that dude. No way. Like, so have at it. But that's just not like in theory, it sounds like it should be decent if it's somebody you really didn't want to deal with, but in practice, I just think it's just not really achievable, and I just feel like it's so disloyal. Like, I'm just not with that, so that doesn't work in my world, but I've seen others do it, and it seemed to work okay. It just didn't work for me.
Okay, that's fair. Heather?
Yeah, so... This is something that I used to really see, like, in high school, people, like, dating each other's exes. But, you know, those are little high school relationships. Like, they, nine chances out of ten, those people aren't together. To this day, there's very few people that I know that I attended high school with who are still with their high school sweetheart. But that's stuff that I saw back then. And I thought it was weird then. But, I mean, it happened, you know. But for now, as an adult, nah, it's a no for me. Like, I feel so strongly on it. Like, I feel like people shouldn't even want to date someone who is even remotely interested in me, even if I never, you know, went out or did anything with this person. If that person showed interest in me and I said I wasn't interested, now all of a sudden they're showing interest in you and you go out with them or you want to talk to them, I feel like you're setting yourself up for failure, baby. I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to look at the reasons as to why, right? Now, there's a fine line because, Fallon, as you were saying, it's even if you only went out with this person one or two times, you know, people mince words all the time and they'll be like, oh, well, then that means that they want an ex.
Mm-hmm.
Not technically, right? Maybe not so much, but there was still some sort of interest on one side of the coin or the other, right?
Yeah.
So I just feel like that's not okay on any level. And again, like Vicky said, it gets really, really messy. There's drama that comes from it. As Vicky said, she doesn't like to be compared. No one wants to be compared to anyone. And I feel like when you get in that type of situation, you are setting yourself up for failure. Like, knowingly. Like, you're walking into this thing eyes wide shut.
Yeah. And I agree with both of you ladies. That's a no-go in my world and in my friendships. I think there must be really strange situation for it to end up being okay. Like, for an example, I do have a girlfriend that, well, first of all, we're not even, it's a former girlfriend, I should say. And I recently found out that she's now dating and seriously dating my very first boyfriend, which I was like super duper crazy about, right? I mean, ended, of course, you know, because of small reasons. Hint, hint. Anyway,
so now that's her problem. Now that is her
so
problem.
So now that's her problem. Boom. There you go. See, I knew. See, that's my cousin right there. And at first I was, like, annoyed by it. Like, how dare she? Like, that's a code. But it was like, girl, I don't fuck with you. Like, well, there's nothing there. There's no friendship there. So that's when I could say, I guess it's okay. But outside of that, it would have to be something whereas it's still not okay. It's still not okay. It just doesn't bother me. It would bother me if we were still friends. We probably wouldn't be now. But we're no longer friends, so, you know, who gives a hell? And then, I mean, if she enjoys that tiny bit, go for it. Anyway, so I was thinking Ooh. That I think that when – I think that – say, for instance, it was, you know, we dated back in high school, just dated, and then, you know, 20 years later, fast forward 20 years, and I bump into, you know, someone you used to go to class with, like – I wouldn't find that so off limits. Like, oh girl, I saw the guy you used to date back. Remember you used to date him? Girl, he is really handsome now. He's successful. Girl, he's been flirting. But I also think if you're gonna cross those lines, talk to your homegirl at least. Like, don't be underhanded and sneaky about it. I think that's when it's whack. If you really feel like, okay, I think I really like him, like they haven't dated in 20 years but I think I really might see something here, let me at least give my friend the respect enough to say, hey, girl, if you don't mind me proceeding, then I will. If not, I won't. If it's that serious, you know, if you're really, really seeing something special. But just as you ladies said, number one, I don't want to be where you slept. I don't want to sleep where you slept at all. I don't want there to be any reason for you to say, oh, well, Heather didn't do me like that. What? Hey, what you say? You know, like, it's just certain things that you're always going to have to kind of walk on eggshells about if you cross those lines. And you don't have to if you're being a good friend. So just be a good friend and don't screw around with your friend's exes. I don't care if they dated for 10 minutes. If at any point he, A, was interested in B, then I can't be with B, right?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. It's a slippery slope, definitely a slippery slope. So our suggestion to you guys is to not do it. I mean, obviously people do it all the time, but I don't know how well it works for them. I feel like somebody is always either ending up in the hospital or in jail or dead or something, you know, or something
that
like
or
that
dead.
At some point. I mean, it happens.
Wow.
It happens.
Yeah.
We've all seen and heard these stories.
That's true.
Because relationships are already so complicated. Why add that extra level of drama to it?
Yeah.
There's so many other levels of drama that you can decide to add. Why let it be that one? But anyway.
There are just so many men out here. So many men.
Right. So it sounds like we're
so many fish
talking
in the
about
sea.
Right. We're deciding to talk about dating tonight on the podcast. Vicky, what you got to say about dating? What you want to say?
Let me tell you something. When I saw this on the docket, I got so excited because it's one of my favorite topics.
Oh, I know.
Girl, the age gap in dating. So listen to this, okay? So I have a thing about how many years are between the person that I'm dating, my age, and their age, right? And I can't hold you. The older I get, the more I kind of extend the years, because when I first started dating, I was like, nope. 2 years is it. Like, you got to be either 2 years older than me, 1 year, or my age. And I really didn't like to do younger, right? So as I've gotten older, it's extended, and it's extended a couple years more. But I think it's interesting to talk about. So, ladies, do you think that it matters how many years there are between you and your significant other? Do you think that there's such a thing as too many years? And what's your deal breaker? Also, is it years up or down? So are you cool with just older, or could they be X amount of years younger or older? So that's kind of what I've been thinking about. Because for me, for example, I like to tell the older people in my family, if me and her graduated in the same year, that's not the one for you. If you sitting out here, you're 65, and then she walks in, and me and her went to prom together, that's a no-go. At the same token, I feel like somebody that I'm dating, if my dad is 66, if they can reminisce about when the album came out that they both liked, that ain't the one for me. Because that's just too much. That's too much for me. So what do you guys think? I'm gonna start with you.
Okay, that works. Definitely not going younger at all. Not happening. I just think that's going backwards, literally. It would have to be quite a fine specimen for me to seriously, like, I would have to be totally surprised that he was younger, just due to the way that he, you know, carried himself. In order for, but usually when they're younger, you can tell, like, almost right off that. But, you know, some could surprise me. So I'm not going to, maybe I shouldn't say never, but that's definitely not what I'm looking for is younger. Older, I'd say 10 years max. So no older than 50. And that's, you know, a bit more than 10 for older, but I'd say no more than 50 for me at this age would probably be healthy for me, just as far as maturity level. But then, you know, oftentimes the older the man gets, he lacks in other departments. So that would also be a thing. Like, do your stuff work? Please tell me your stuff work. Because if it don't work, I can't do prescriptions and all of that just to have fun with my man. So, well, we need to know. We need to address that in the beginning. Your stuff work? Okay, you 50? Cool. As long as your stuff work. And I'm a keep receipts. So there better be in a text message because you say your stuff work. So I don't want to hear anything about going to the local CVS come midnight. But anywho, I think that has to be a thing for me. I know. I think just, and then older men, at least the ones that I tend to be around, usually know how to put me in my place. You know, they, without being rude, they'll you know, pull the leadership and the masculinity and make my feminine, in my femininity, just like ooze, like, oh my God, he just checks me, girl. He, like, they don't do that. Like, and I respect it. You know, like a respectable check. If do you guys know what I'm saying? You understand, right?
I do. I understand because I appreciate that.
Let me tell you.
Exactly.
I do. I appreciate that. That's
going to get you very
far. That.
Like, oh my God.
Get you very far over here.
Yes.
So.
Yes, lover of all senior citizens. How may I help you?
So, in my experience, 17 years difference, older, was the oldest for me, and it was great. I would say for what it was at that time, it taught me a few things about that age group. There was a lot of maturity, financially, you know, all of that was in order. But I will also say that some men in that age group, when they are dating a woman who's significantly younger, there is a little bit of insecurity there. Okay? So those are also things that you have to, especially when you're a particular type of woman. Now, if you're just out here kind of, you know, silly and they just date you just because you're cute or whatever, then that's something different. But I would say that if you're a woman who they feel like it's kind of like the full package or at least close to the full package, sometimes that insecurity can come because they are a little bit older and they do feel like, okay, what about, you know, Tom, Dick, and or Harry that may be closer to your age group. So I would say that that's something that, that you guys have to have consistent conversation about, right? As far as younger for me, the youngest person that I had dated was my ex-husband, who is about a year older than I am. That was the youngest. I had always dated up. Dating up was like my thing forever, just because I felt more safe, more secure. But I would say, like, I would say that there have been younger men that I've been like, okay, you may only be, you know, 33, 34, 35, whatever, but your demeanor is that of an older person. Do you see what I'm saying? So sometimes, sound like, to your point, like sometimes they do show that age in a negative way, but sometimes they will shock you. Sometimes they will shock you and you'll be like, oh, what? Wait a minute. You know what I mean? And I think that, you know, the further that thing gets along or whatever, then you guys will kind of figure out, is it going to work? Is it not going to work? But again, typically, my preference has been older, even if it's been just like a couple of years. Like, that's been my typical preference, I would say, in the dating world. So,
well, I do think too, there's like an assumption. Lover of all things with AARP cards.
I love it now. Whatever.
But here's the thing, though. I think part of it is I do think that we're conditioned to be more open to older because it could be more established, right? So at the times when I have, you know, and I've dated older than me by some years a few times, and I do think there is, like, a more maturity there. I do feel like when I first started it, though, I had a lot of assumptions about what that meant to date somebody older. Like, for example, you know, we assume that they're more established. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not, right? Like, versus you can meet somebody younger that could be more established than you think they are. So, like, I think even now I probably consider dating somebody younger more often than I have before. But part of it is because I'm older. So it's like I'm 35, somebody 32, you know what I'm saying, like could have their stuff together, just like somebody 42 could have their stuff together. Versus like when I was 25, somebody 22, probably not.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And you're right. Yeah, yeah. There could be some issues that would arise from a situation like that. I do know several women in our age group, mid to late 30s, early 40s, who do date men that are significantly younger. And I will say that they've had nothing but issues with them. That's what I will say.
I was thinking that too.
I'm saying that it's across the board. They have issues or they have commitment problems. And not commitment as far as, oh, my God, he's cheating on me all the time, but commitment as far as establishing what is and what is not in this relationship. You know, because typically
I'm seeing the same thing.
Women wait on the men to make the decision, are we going to move forward or not, just because that's just like a society thing, right? We just kind of wait and we follow their lead, right? That's another conversation, because I don't necessarily agree. I feel like it's on both of us, not just on you, to decide that this is what we're doing. We have to have a conversation about this, right? Okay. But in a lot of instances, women are waiting on the man to make that decision. And when they're significantly younger, they may not be ready at that time. Or if they are ready, it may be for another reason that may not be suitable to what it is that you think that it is. Right?
Right.
It may be because you are the established woman and because you come off as a sugar mama, you know, which, again, I'm not saying that this is across the board, but I am saying that it happens in some situations. In addition, on the flip side, right, when some women date older men, it's because they want a sugar daddy. Again, they want a sugar
daddy. Especially when you're talking about the wide, like, age bracket. Like, you know, to me, 10 years isn't a big deal, but when you're talking, like, 25, 30, when you start seeing some questionable intentions.
You got to question that thing. Like, let's have a deeper conversation as to your reasoning for this. Not saying your reasoning is wrong. I just want to know your reason behind doing it. That's the thing for me. So, I don't know. Whatever you guys want to do, I'm still going to support you. If you want to date somebody that's 87 years old, that's fine. That's okay. I don't think
I'm not gonna say I'm not gonna laugh, but I'm supporting you.
exactly. I would totally be there. Last topic that we want to discuss before we wrap tonight, since we have this whole dating thing on the In the Thick podcast tonight. I read something on Facebook. It was from a group called Virtual Day Parties. It's their feed, and it was just a couple days ago. They said, my date left me sitting at a bar for 20 to 30 minutes while she chatted with friends she ran into. She said that she hadn't seen them in over a year due to COVID. When she returned, she got upset that I was doing shots with the female bartender. Who was wrong in this situation? Vicky, your thoughts.
You know, I have a problem with people making me wait. I have a problem when people, and I get it, like when we're out and about, you know, you can run into friends, run into family, but like 30 minutes is a long time to leave somebody hanging. And so my thing is like, people take shots with bartenders all the time. People have drinks. At that point, even if it was like something kind of sideways, I kind of feel like you opened the door for that because you left your date sitting there for 30 minutes. Like now there's somebody else who could be like, hey, you're kind of cute, especially if it was new. Like at that point, there's no ties. There's no like, you know, commitment. You know what I'm saying? You just pretty much left that person up for anybody to talk to them. And they're not necessarily tied to you. So I don't know how you could be mad when you made them wait for 30 minutes while you, you know, caught up and talked about. And I feel like if it was somebody you really wanted to connect with, you could have, like, brought them over and introduced them. So it's not just like you just they're just watching you have this conversation, and they got to, like, entertain themselves for a half hour. So I thought it was trash. I thought the person that left the date for 30 minutes was wrong.
I agree. I totally agree. I think that person was trash. I think it's a matter of respect. And if, especially because of the fact that this is a new situation, you've already set a tone at this point because you feel comfortable disrespecting me. Because that was completely disrespectful for you not to even check back in. I'm not saying you can't catch up. Who knows when the last time they've seen this person? I'm not saying you can't catch up. You see people at the darndest times. So I can understand that there probably was a million things you wanted to get off your chest for this with this person. But you didn't even check back in and say, look, babe, I'm so sorry. I just really got to catch up. Do you mind if I just chit-chat for a little longer? Or if not, you know, can I bring her over to the table or him over to the table? Something. Give me an option to where that you remember that you're here with me. But you going off to the other side of the bar and chit-chatting it up for a half an hour, that's like totally disrespectful. That was a shit show. First of all, Fountain wasn't going to stay there for 30 minutes. I'd have been gone. So either gone or in a whole other conversation with someone else that you probably wouldn't have appreciated. But, I mean, the fact that that person sat there through it and then you have the nerve to still have an attitude with this person because they're upset, come on. Like, what planet are you living on? And like I said, but being that this is a new situation, you've already set a tone. You put a bad taste in my mouth. So we're probably not going to go out again. That's probably the end of that. Because you've told me you don't care about my feelings, you don't care about my time. We just talked about wasting each other's time. You don't care about my time. I made arrangements in my day to be here with you, and you've made arrangement. You've interfered, whatever you had going on the side, interfered with what the hell I had to me. So no, that was disrespectful. You're a trash person, and good night, sir.
Yeah, I mean, and I agree with both of you guys. In that moment when I'm out with someone, my focus is on them, hands down, 150%, right? I don't care if I have not seen Susie, Mary, Becky in how long. That's not who I'm there with, right? We can catch up some other time. I'm sure that 30-minute conversation did not encompass everything that we lost over this past year due to the pandemic. We can talk another time, right? Okay. Now, if we hadn't talked in a year because of the pandemic, then how strong was our relationship to begin with? That's another thing. So I don't really need to have this 30-minute conversation with you, especially when I'm already out with someone else. So I do feel like that she was completely wrong. I feel like she was selfish, and she did not take his feelings into consideration. And if the tables were turned, and if he had done that to her, she would have had a real problem. Not only that, she may have walked over there and interrupted his conversation or sent a text.
Pretty much.
You know what I mean? As I was reading through the thread and seeing people's comments, there were a lot of people, even women, who were saying, I mean, I don't understand what the big deal is. It's a pandemic. You know, a lot of lives were lost. A lot of people lost time. What's the big deal? She should have been able to have that 30-minute conversation, and he should have been okay with it. Absolutely not. Because that
you have a lot of people who are okay with inconvenience.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that shows how much you value and you regard my time. If that's what you're
doing,
then you don't really care. Again, like you said, Sal, I've set aside time in my day for you. My schedule gets tight. It fills up quickly.
Yep.
So if I'm setting aside time in my day to see about you, to go be with you, to spend time with you, then I think that that should be valued and that should be respected on both ends, just like I would respect the time that you have set aside on your day for me. What's going on in my phone isn't important during that meeting. What's going on with all these other people is not important during that meeting.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, I don't like that. I mean, I also have a problem with friends who do that. Like, if we're, like, hanging out as friends or whatever, and if you are consistently leaving the conversation or leaving our situation because you have all these very, very in-depth conversations that need to happen while we're meeting, then I would rather you go take care of that. Because we're out together, we're having a good time. Right? If you do it like once or twice, okay, that's fine.
Yeah,
whatever.
Stepping
maybe
away is one thing.
Mm-hmm. But if this is something that you do, because, again, that just shows me, and you may not be thinking this because your intentions may be pure, but what it does is that shows me that my time with you is not important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not okay. I could be stepping away, taking a phone call. We've all done it, right? You step away, your phone's ringing. Okay, you want to talk to this person, depending on who it is, because if it's someone that's not of importance, then that person's going to text to voicemail and maybe getting a text message sent. But if it's someone that you really want to talk to, then it's okay to step away and, hey, what's going on? You know, you'd be gone maybe 5, maybe 10 minutes at most. But then you come back. But don't just leave.
Yeah,
me.
You definitely just. For sure.
We're not doing that. We're not doing that in 2021, people. Okay, we're going to respect each other. We're going to value people's time. We're going to admonish them. We're going to treat them like they're important, right? Because it's not enough of that happens in any relationship. We're going to, you know, regard people, right? That those are the things that
and
we
say when you're
in
wrong.
Relationships.
Let's normalize saying
level.
When you're wrong on any
right.
level. Whether it's, I took too long chit-chatting at the bar, I'm sorry. My apologies. And be sincere.
Right.
Don't do that, my bad shit. That's not an apology.
Exactly. And I do believe that if she had come back and if she had acted like she had some sort of remorse, then maybe he would have understood.
I agree.
Absolutely. So we had a lovely jam-packed podcast tonight. Obviously, they're usually lovely and jam-packed anyway, ladies, but it was very, very nice coming back and recording with you guys. I missed y'all last week. I know Fallon was not feeling the greatest, and I lost complete use of my voice last week, so I am just coming back from dealing with that situation. I was not sick at all. I really felt like it was an issue like going on with my allergies, and I've lost my voice several times before, but this time it lasted a little bit longer than normal. But I am happy that we're back and we were able to record tonight. It's spring, y'all. It's spring. I'm so excited for spring. Well, it's almost spring. We're like on the cusp of spring, which means that we are on the cusp of some outside activities. So I'm very, very happy about that.
Absolutely. And Fallon's birthday season, it's going down.
Yes, Fallon's birthday season. We are taking, we're going to do a Chicago takeover next month. Not telling people exactly where it is because we don't want y'all to come down there. So anyway. Anyway, so ladies, before we go, tell the people where they can find you, Victoria.
I'm on Instagram at PrettySweetB85. So hit me up with any businesses you know about, any black-owned businesses, because I would love to check them out.
Yay. And what about you, Fallon?
All right. Please look me up. Reach out. Like, share. I want to holler at you guys. Jada F. Gray on Facebook and Instagram. More so on Facebook. I'm really, really working hard at Instagram this year. That's a 2021 to-do list, so check me out.
You know, and it's nice that you were honest about that, too, because, like, as far as, like, you not being really engaged on IG, like, I'm trying to be better about being more engaged on IG myself, but I know that you have a commitment. time and commitment that sometimes you just don't have. But
right.
for myself, you can find me, Heather D, that's Heather D-E-E on Facebook. And then on Instagram, I'm Head D-E-E-1-6. Our show page is In the Thick, T-H-A because it's ethnic. We love you guys. We appreciate you. And we will talk to you next week. Have a great night.
Bye.
Goodbye.